Thank you, Wendell. And he's done a great job leading our singing this morning. Love his selections. If you'd like to know more about Wendell, his mother is with us today. And so the source is here. And so you can find out all you want to know about him, if you would like. We're delighted to have her with us today. Delighted to have all of our visitors with us today. Guess where we're going? Back to Luke chapter 1 and 2 and Matthew chapter 1 and 2. We're going to take another look at our Bible class this morning, but not in the same way. We're going to do something a little different. I remember growing up in Decatur that my mother on Christmas Day, or when she was decorating for Christmas, early on when we lived in the house I was brought up in, she would have on a table the family Bible, which had a white hard cover. And she would have it opened either to Matthew 1 and 2 or to Luke 1 and 2. And she would have pine needles around it and pine cones around it and a white candle that was lit. And so she would have the story of the birth of Jesus out on display. She did that for a while and then stopped doing it. But I always remember that being out and that being there for us to have our attention brought to it. Did you notice in our class this morning as we went through Luke chapter 1 and 2 and Matthew chapter 1 and 2, or have you noticed as you have read those verses and those passages, the underlying theme that runs through both of those chapters? And it's an underlying theme that is not only in both of those chapters, it is all through the Bible. But in this story of the birth of Jesus, it is there. And it's there in every section, in every part where something is described about his birth, it's there. And I wanted us to take a look at that together this morning. On the screen, you'll have the verses that we're going to emphasize. You'll have the verses that we're going to be taking a look at. There'll be two screens. There'll be this one and then one other. We'll take a look at what they have to say. If you look at the title, you already have an idea of where we're going and what this is about. But this is God talking to us through his inspired word. And he's telling us something very important. He's telling us something even in the birth of his son. It's absolutely essential. It's not the first time he said it. He started saying it in Genesis. And he said it through every book of the Old Testament. And he says it through every book of the New Testament. And he tells it here in this story of the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1 and verse 20. When Zechariah went into the temple and the angel appeared to him and told him that his wife, who was called barren, was going to have a child. Zechariah said, "How can I know this is true?" And Gabriel, the angel, you can almost imagine him scratching his head and saying, "Wait a second, Zechariah. I am Gabriel. I stand before the very throne of God. And I have been sent by God to give you a message. And you don't recognize that I am not just a human being? And you're wondering how you can know that what I'm saying to you is going to happen and is going to occur? You're not going to be able to talk until it happens because you didn't believe. And because you didn't believe what I have told you, you will not say another word until that child is born and you give his name. And his name will be John." Well, Zechariah is chastised because of it. Luke 1, 37, the reading. Mary is told by the same angel, "You're going to have a child and you will call him Jesus." Mary questions, "How can this be since I have never known a man?" The angel then will say to her, "The power of God will come upon you and the Spirit of God will rest upon you. And the child that you will bear will be called the Son of God." And it will be in fulfillment of the passage that said, a virgin shall have a child. Same thing that he told to Joseph. And then the angel emphasizes, your relative, who has been called by everyone barren because it was impossible for her to have children, she is now pregnant. And it is now the sixth month with her. Because nothing will be impossible with God. And then Luke 1:45. When Mary goes to see her relative Elizabeth greets her with these words. Blessed is she who has believed. Blessed is she who has listened to what was said and who has trusted it. Then in Luke 1:49 through 50, Mary and her song that she sings in praise to God for all that God has done will say these words. God is giving mercy. And he's giving mercy toward all those who fear him. He's giving mercy to all those that believe in him and trust in him. Luke 1:68-75. This is the song that Zechariah sings after John is born. Listen to the words. It starts in Luke 1:67. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn, symbolizes strength. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. God has done exactly what he said he would do. God has fulfilled every promise he has made. Going all the way back to the promise that he made to Abraham, God has brought to pass the redemption of Israel and fulfilled in doing that everything that he has said that he would do. We go to Matthew. Matthew 1:20-25. Coming of the birth of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of everything that God has said was going to occur. Even the things that seemed absolutely impossible for them to happen. Even a virgin giving birth to a child. All of those things have been fulfilled exactly as God has described. In Luke 2:10-15, the angels say, today, tonight, is born to you in the city of Bethlehem a Savior. A Savior who is Christ, who is the Lord. And the shepherds, hearing the song that the angels say, immediately say, let's go see this thing. And showing their trust in the message that had been delivered, they immediately leave the sheep and they go to see this thing that God had described that was going to happen. Jesus is born. And in Luke 2:21-24, we begin to understand why God chose the parents that he did. He's already told us about Zechariah and Elizabeth that the reason they were chosen is because they were faithful to God in everything that God wanted them to do. The same is true of Joseph and Mary. We have a demonstration of it in connection with Joseph and Mary. Joseph and Mary circumcised Jesus on the eighth day. Not on the day convenient for them. Not on the day that they feel like it would be best for him. But on the day God had commanded. And they circumcised Jesus on the eighth day. They wait for 40 days before they go to the temple to offer the sacrifice. So Mary can be cleansed of her impurities from giving birth to a male. They wait for those 40 days, not because they wait till the time is convenient, or they hasten it up so they can hurry and get back home. They wait for the 40 days because it's what God prescribed. It's what God said. It's exactly what God instructed when he gave the law. And they did everything in keeping with the exact wording of what the law had prescribed that God wanted done for the children of Israel whenever a child was born. In Luke 2, verses 26, verse 29 through 32, 34 through 35, and 38, we have the story of Simeon. Simeon, first of all, in those first few verses, because there's a promise given to him. You're not going to die until you see the child who is the Christ. And when he holds the baby in his arms, he says, "Now, God, you have fulfilled your promise to me. You've done exactly what you said." And then he tells Mary what's going to happen. This child is going to be the cause for many rising and falling in Israel. This child is going to cause a sword to be pierced through your own soul. You're going to have sorrow as a result of this child. She will see his death. She will be there when it happens. She will be there when it occurs. But he will bring joy to all of those who put trust in him. And then verse 38. Anna, standing at the door, giving a message to all of those who love and are who are waiting for the redemption of Israel. It's here. The child has come. And the child has been born. And then Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, the Magi come. Where is he to be born, this king of the Jews? They open the scripture. Because it's the only place where that answer can be found. And it's the very place where the prophets have written. Where the prophets have written down exactly what God had spoken. And the answer to the question is Bethlehem. Because it's exactly what the prophet said. And everything that's going to take place is going to take place exactly as God has said. So if the king of the Jews has been born, it's in Bethlehem. If the king of the Jews is here, he's in Bethlehem. And so they go to Bethlehem. And there they find the king of the Jews. The flight to Egypt. Because God said, "I'll call my child out of Egypt." So Mary and Joseph go to Egypt. Because they hear that Herod wants to kill the child. And then the very killing of the child. Well, the Bible says there was weeping in Ramah. Weeping for her children was Deborah. Near to the tomb where Deborah was buried. In the city of Bethlehem. Herod gave orders for all the male children 2 years old and under to be killed. And that order was carried out. Exactly as God knew it would happen. Exactly as God had said that it would happen. And then in verse 23, when they come back, because Archelaus is now ruling in place of Herod, they are afraid to go back to Bethlehem. They're afraid of where it is that they might need to raise this child. So they go to Nazareth. And there Jesus is raised. In fulfillment of what God had said through the prophets, exactly as God had spoken, he shall be called a Nazarene because he was brought up in Nazareth. Everything God has said will be exactly as God has said it. That is the heart of those who have faith. That is the heart of those who believe. So let me ask you a question. What's your relationship with God? And what is it based upon? Do you do in your life, do the things that you feel like God would be happy with for you doing them? Do you go through life feeling like God will be pleased with me because I'm doing the very best that I can for him? I am serving him in the way that I think he would be the most happy with. Or are you listening to exactly what he said? Do you know that God has spoken and said that all of those who are in Christ Jesus have their sins forgiven? Are you in Christ Jesus? If you are, do you know that your sins are forgiven because of your relationship to Jesus Christ? Do you know that believers who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, are instructed by Jesus to go through a likeness of Jesus' own death, burial, and resurrection? We call that baptism. And it's described by Paul in Romans chapter 6 as being our death to ourself, our burial in water, and our resurrection from that grave to walk in newness of life. Have you done that? Do you trust God? Do you believe God? Do you realize and understand that when we stand in front of Jesus, Jesus will be our final judge? And do you understand that what Jesus has said in regard to that judgment day, the words that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day? And here is God emphasizing over and over again in this story of the birth of Jesus what he emphasizes all through the Bible. Everything is going to be just like I said it would be. So the important question for us is, do I know what he said it would be? Am I paying attention to what he said it would be? And do I trust him that it will be exactly as he said it will be? Whether you trust him or not, whether you believe him or not, whether you know or not what he said, you can rest assured of this. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you hold to it or not, it will be exactly as he said it would be. And when we stand in front of him, it will be exactly as he said it would be. Those of us who've put trust in Christ, and yet we see so much of sinfulness still in us, and yet we acknowledge those things and we ask him to forgive us, and we have this struggle that's going on, and we don't see how we can be saved when we stand in front of him. Because we are in Christ and washed by his blood, it will be exactly as he said. Your sins are forgiven. But if we don't put trust in him, if we don't believe in Jesus, if we don't listen to his words, it will be exactly as he said. Depart from me, because I never knew you, because you never paid attention to me. It will be exactly as he has said. As we end this new year and we get ready to start the new one, is your life right with Christ? Have you been washed in his blood? Have you been baptized into him? If you need to come to Christ this morning, we want to offer you his invitation. If you need to come home to Christ, his invitation is yours. As together we stand and as we sing.